Welcome to Mindwalk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
I mean, people are acting like so weirdly paranoid about talking and saying anything negative about the war with the government. I mean, everybody got upset at the Dixie Chicks because they said they were ashamed to be from Texas. And yeah, I mean, I understand what they mean. I mean, they can say what they want too. And the press blew it all out of proportion. Like there was like a big, you know, big Dixie Chicks CD destroying festivals, and it was the same picture every time. It was one redneck stepping on his jewel case. That he had accidentally dropped on the way out of Sam Goody. So he actually had to go back and get another one. And artists are supposed to comment on culture. That's the function of art. So I don't understand why they have to have such a backlash. I was driving and I was driving behind this woman and she had a bumper sticker that said, "This car was built with tools, not chopsticks." And it was in that really Hong Kong fooey font that's really chinky, like it's like, hi-ya! You know, it's like super feng shui and bamboo calligraphy font. And I just exploded with anger. Like I just got all gigantic and yellow like the Incredible Asian Hulk. Like. And I pulled up next to her and I had nothing funny to say, nothing clever at all. I just started to scream, like, ah! That's racist on your car! That is a racist bumper sticker! Ah! 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 I would feel a little bit better if George W. Bush could say the word nuclear correctly, because he says it like nuclear. Somebody would have said something by now. I mean, at the very least, Condoleezza Rice would have got up in his face. Foe is nuclear! I'm gonna have to write it down for you. I'm making flashcards for the president. This is. I told that joke on TV and I got a really angry letter.
"Dear Ms. Cho, how dare you speak of our beloved president in this manner? You know, intelligence is not the only reason someone's elected into office."
And then she had gone all around her office and had everybody sign a petition. I'm like, I hate you, Margaret. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. So I wrote her back and I said, fuck you. And I had all my friends sign.
Galtieri took the Union Jack, and Maggie, over lunch one day, took a cruiser with all hands, apparently to make him give it back. We'll be right back.
This is a police brutality emergency alert from WSQT Guerrilla Radio. Remember that Brazilian man shot in the head 11 times by London police because of fools thought he was a suicide bomber and thought he was Arab? Well, now those policies are coming here. Chief Gaynor of the Capitol Police has said that he has retrained his cops to shoot to kill in the head when faced with anyone they think is a suicide bomber. The problem is, since a suicide bomber's bomb is concealed, they have to do this by profiling. If you look Arab, which could just mean having dark hair, and you're wearing a heavy coat, maybe it's winter and it's cold out, they order you to stop and you run, they claim the right to shoot without warning in the back of the head. It was bad enough in the days of the slave catchers when you could be shot in the back for running from the slave catchers or from the police. Now they want the right to shoot people in the back of the head. And in London, they haven't shot any suicide bombers, but they have shot an innocent tourist from Brazil. Is that going to happen on Capitol Hill? Let's not forget that Gaynor is such a thug that he was pepper sprayed by his own men during the fall 2001 World Bank protests.
This is a public service announcement with guitar.
The right to shoot people in the back of the head without warning because they're wearing the wrong coat, because they look Arab, or because they're wearing a backpack and don't stop for a search. Now, we've already seen that American police agencies tend to abuse their existing deadly force policies. Let's not forget Amadou Diallo up in New York City. Amadou Diallo up in New York City, shot 41 times while reaching for his wallet. It was a wallet, not a gun. This is WSQT Guerrilla Radio saying hell no to shoot to kill, shoot without warning, lethal force policies of police.
And it has been suggested in some quarters that this is not enough. Whoa.
now wants the right to shoot people in the back of the head without warning because they're wearing the wrong coat, because they look Arab, or because they're wearing a backpack and don't stop for a search. This is WSQT Guerrilla Radio saying hell no to shoot to kill, shoot without warning, lethal force policies of police.
Ever since I left my isolated, rural, and impoverished childhood in Oklahoma, I have felt like an outlaw, even in the women's movement, which I helped initiate in 1968. So I chose the name Outlaw Woman for my memoir, mindfully. Mine is not the story of a moderate feminist, a reformist. I was an extremist. My childhood icons were Belle Starr, Calamity Jane, and Annie Oakley, along with Bonnie and Clyde, Billy the Kid, Pretty Boy Floyd, Jesse James, and Al Jennings, all bandits from my part of the world. My grandfather had been an anarchist socialist, a local Western Oklahoma leader of the industrial workers of the world, a Wobbly. For those and other reasons, mainly my rural working class background, my worldview was different from the emerging mainstream of the women's movement, which I perceived as being controlled by white, urban, middle class, professional women and leftist women from a similar background. From the time I left Oklahoma at 20, I have rarely met anyone who came from a background or worldview similar to mine. Rural poverty, Southern Baptist, half-breed, yet powerfully infused with agrarian populism, that is a deep mistrust for the government and for all governments, for city people, and especially for Easterners, as we called everyone east of the Mississippi and north of the Mason-Dixon line. As a teenager, I ran away from rural poverty and a violent alcoholic mother to the city, Oklahoma City, where I fell in love and married a rich boy, at least by my standards. His father was a construction superintendent. We migrated to San Francisco, where I enrolled at San Francisco State for the purpose of learning everything I could about the world, majoring in history. I was ashamed of my background and never talked about it, got rid of my Okie accent. My husband's goal was to help me rise above my class and social status. I drew further and further away from myself and cut ties with my family. My husband controlled my every thought and action. But in 1963, I read Simone de Beauvoir's The Second Sex. The book affected me powerfully with its analysis of marriage and the family as the seed of female bondage. 3 months after I read the book, I left my husband. The following year, he fought for custody of our daughter and won. Though I had visitation rights, I paid a heavy price for my newfound freedom. Okay, so I'll move on to moving to Berkeley. New Year's 1968, I had been to UCLA for 4 years, graduate school. I moved up to Berkeley, where I was surrounded by the volatile protests and organizing around the Free Huey movement. The Black Panther Party had burst on the scene a year earlier with their black berets, street patrols, and armed with legal unloaded shotguns. I seethed over the secondary role of women and the absence of discussion of women's oppression in the movements that surrounded me. Women were to be supportive. In the Black Power movement, national liberation came first, for leftist socialism had to be established before women would be free. For the anti-war movement, draft resistors and army deserters, they came first, and they were all male. The slogan was, "Girls say yes to boys who say no." It was true. Once I spoke on women's liberation at GI Coffee House at Fort Bragg with that poster behind me, like living evidence of chauvinism. It was a very interesting experience. All the left-wing movements cautioned that women should wait. Wait for the revolution. Wait until after the Vietnam War. Wait until racism has ended. Wait for the revolution. Wait until after the Vietnam War. Wait until racism has ended. Wait for the revolution. Wait until after the Vietnam War. Wait until racism has ended. wait for the revolution, wait until after the Vietnam War, wait until racism has ended.
Thank you. The last one. Well, they'd made up their minds to be everywhere, because why not? Everywhere was theirs because they thought so. They with two leaves, they whom the birds despise. In the middle of stones, they made up their minds. They started to cut. Well, they cut everything because why not? Everything was theirs because they thought so. It fell into its shadows and they took both away. Some to have, some for burning. Well, cutting everything, they came to the water. They came to the end of the day, there was one left standing. They would cut it tomorrow, they went away. The night gathered in the last branches. The shadow of the night gathered in the shadow on the water. The night and the shadow put on the same head. And it said, now. Well, in the morning they cut the last one. Like the others, the last one fell into its shadow. It fell into its shadow on the water. They took it away, its shadow stayed on the water. Well, they shrugged, they started trying to get the shadow away. They cut right to the ground, the shadow stayed whole. They laid boards on it, the shadow came out on top. They shone lights on it, the shadow got blacker and clearer. They exploded the water, the shadow rocked. They built a huge fire on the roots. They sent up black smoke between the shadow and the sun. The new shadow flowed without changing the old one. They shrugged, they went away to get stones. They came back, the shadow was growing. They started setting up stones, it was growing. They looked the other way, it went on growing. They decided they would make a stone out of it. They took stones to the water, they poured them into the shadow. They poured them in, the stones vanished. The shadow was not filled, it went on growing. That was one day. The next day was just the same, it went on growing. They did all the same things, it was just the same. They decided to take its water from under it. They took away water, they took it away, the water went down. The shadow stayed where it was before. It went on growing, it grew onto the land. They started to scrape the shadow with machines. When it touched the machines, it stayed on them. They started to beat the shadow with sticks. Where it touched the sticks, it stayed on them. They started to beat the shadow with hands. Where it touched the hands, it stayed on them. That was another day. Well, the next day started about the same. It went on growing. They pushed lights into the shadow. Where the shadow got onto them, they went out. They began to stomp on the edge. It got their feet. And when it got their feet, they fell down. It got into eyes. The eyes went blind. The ones that fell down, it grew over and they vanished. The ones that went blind and walked into it vanished. The ones that could see and stood still, it swallowed their shadow. Then it swallowed them too, and they vanished. Well, the others ran. The ones that were left went away to live, if it would let them. They went as far as they could, the lucky ones with their shadows.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production for nonprofit use.